passage today into two sections. I will do the Lord's Prayer next week. As I studied the Lord's Prayer this week, I could see easily that we needed to spend a little more time on it and not rush through the Lord's Prayer. So today we'll be looking at verses 5 through 8. I'm an American, and Americans love football. American football, that is. There's an interesting tradition that people have when they play football. I don't know if it happens much anymore due to liberalism in schools, but the tradition is this: praying the Lord's Prayer before going out to play the football game. Actually, going out, before you go out to crush each other, you pray the Lord's Prayer. It usually went something like this, rapidly and somewhat meaninglessly: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We also forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the power, forever. Amen. And then it was perhaps followed up after amen with the coach yelling, "Let's go kill somebody!" And maybe even using a few curse words. What does Jesus think about this kind of praying? You've probably seen that in movies, haven't you? The kind of empty words, many phrases, but not from the heart. Well, in this passage today, Jesus is going to tell us how not to pray and how to pray. So let's do what we should do, and let's ask God for help as we look in this wonderful word of His. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, Your word is true and rich. It is a gold mine of wisdom and knowledge. It pierces even to our hearts, down to our bones, to the marrow. And so we pray that You would accomplish Your purposes in our lives today through Your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned last week in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, we have the general principle of this entire section. The general principle is, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. That's what this whole section is based upon. Last week we looked at giving to the needy, giving to those who are maybe less fortunate than us, and how we are to give. Today is prayer, and then in a few weeks we'll look at fasting. And in all of these, this verse is the foundation. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them. So just keep that in mind as we look at prayer today. How then should we pray, and how should we not pray before our God in order to make sure that we don't do that general principle? So let's look at the specific example for today in verse 5. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. We saw that word last week. It means actors. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the nations do, the Gentiles, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. First, let's take a look at how not to pray. How not to pray. Number one, he says, do not pray like hypocrites. And number two, he says, don't pray like the heathen. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners to be seen by others. What is the prayer of the hypocrite? The hypocrite is a religious person. The hypocrite, he's usually using the word hypocrite to refer to the Pharisees, they are religious people. They pray and they know how to pray. But Jesus says that they are acting. They want to look religious to other people. But Jesus says they are hypocrites. They're actors. Jesus warns religious people to beware of praying certain kinds of prayers to be seen by others. What might this look like? It may be in our stance. It may be in our posture. It may be that we like to pray like this, with our raising our hands up in the air, or falling to our knees on the ground, or so that people will think maybe we are pious. Now, not everybody who does that is a hypocrite, right? But Jesus is saying, beware that you're not. Maybe it's in our words. Maybe it's in our eloquence. We want to sound wise and sound mature to show off. Maybe it's even we tell people that we get up very early to pray. I'm very tired today because why are you so tired? Well, I was up 4 o'clock praying. Beware that we're not being hypocrites in order to do things to be seen by other people. Jesus says that any kind of praying that is to impress others is hypocritical. It's acting, and God will not honor that kind of praying. So the prayer of the hypocrite is very simply praying to impress other people. And whatever that may look like, I don't know. But praying to impress other people. Well, what about the prayer of the heathen, the Gentile, or the nations? This is praying like the religions of the world today pray. It's the type of mantra prayer. Verse 7, he says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases. By the way, this word empty phrases is only used in one place in literature ever. It literally means to babble. He created a word here, just blah, 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 blah. Empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. If the prayer of the hypocrite is to impress others, the prayer of the heathen is to impress God, or their God. By saying the same things over and over again, or saying a lot. It's the prayer that doesn't understand the nature of God. You see, he tells us clearly in this passage that God does not need our information. And God, therefore, cannot be manipulated in any way by our prayers. This is alive and well all over the world. Muslims repeat the same prayers over and over and over again. Hindus and Buddhists will repeat mantras, Om Mani Padme Namah Sapakatotisata, over and over and over again. And so the more you do it, the better chance that you have that God will answer. Not the God of the Bible, but little g. Even some Roman Catholics recite the Rosary prayer over and over and over and over again. This is the type of praying Jesus means. It misunderstands God, and he says, do not be like them. That's why our sermon series is called Different. We are to give differently. We are to pray differently. We are to fast differently than the world. Well, why is this type of praying misunderstanding God? I think he tells us in verse 8, as I already mentioned, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Think about that for a moment. Is that the way you understand God when you pray? That He knows what you need before you ask Him. You may be praying right now for Him to automatically shut off that cold air conditioner. But He already knows that it's set on automatic and it'll turn off just as soon as it reaches 24 degrees. This is foundational for how we understand prayer, folks. That God already knows what we need before we ask. We are praying is talking to our Heavenly Father. You may be a dad in here and you understand, I already know what my children need before they ask. Usually we do. Would any of us talk to our earthly father by trying to impress them by standing in the middle of the living room or on the street corner? Would any of us try to talk to our earthly father by repeating mantras to them over and over and over again? Jesus is actually teaching us in this passage how to come to God. Do you know what I believe is the most important teaching in the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Do you know what's repeated more than anything? The words, your Father. Did you know that that is a foreign concept until Jesus started saying, your Heavenly Father? In the Old Testament, God is not referred to as your Father in heaven. When Jesus starts teaching the Sermon on the Mount, this has never been talked about like this before. That Father, the God in heaven, is your Father. And this changes everything. So prayer isn't impressing other people, and prayer isn't impressing God. We're not to pray like hypocrites, and we're not to pray like the nations or the heathen by trying to impress God by giving Him information. Prayer, private prayer, is a child simply talking to their Heavenly Father in private about what they need. Prayer is a child talking to their Father about what they need. Prayer is meeting with God. But I might add that we really don't believe this. You know, if we really believed that when we're praying, we're meeting with God, we would pray a lot more. I think verse 6 is important. He's told us how not to pray. But listen how he tells us how to pray in verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do you see what's very important about this passage? It says when you pray, go into your room, and that word room means the storeroom. It's like a room with no windows where you keep stuff. And shut the door and pray to your Father. Your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So you would think that right here he would say, pray to your Father in secret. But he says, pray to your Father who is in secret with you. When we go to God privately, He is in there as we pray to Him. He's not just seeing what we do in secret, He's meeting with us. Well, a good question to ask. If God sees everything, and if God already knows what we need, if God has already promised, like Philippians 4:19, to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, why pray? If our Heavenly Father already knows what we need, then why do we pray? Why in chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount does Jesus say this? Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Why pray? Why pray if God already knows? Why pray if God's sovereign? Why pray if God is providentially caring for us? Reason number one is because prayer changes us. Quote on the board by John Calvin says this. You have to read this very carefully. But someone will say, does he not know without a monitor both what our difficulties are and what is suitable for our interest, so that it seems in some measure unnecessary to solicit Him by our prayers, as if He were winking or even sleeping until aroused by the sound of our voice? Those who argue thus attend not to the end for which the Lord taught us to pray. It was not so much for His sake as for ours. So prayer is not trying to wake God up. Prayer is not trying to give God information that He doesn't know. God wants us to pray because it's good for us. Number one, as R.C. Sproul illustrates, just as a father may already know what is going on with his child and doesn't need the information, nevertheless, he asked the child to climb up into his arms and say, tell Daddy about it. We've all done that. We cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us, 1 Peter. And when we cast it all on Him, it does us a lot of good. To be able to go to the Lord in prayer and to throw everything off onto Him is what we're supposed to do. If we try to throw everything back onto ourselves in life, it only leads to depression, anxiety, stress, worry, and messes us up in so many ways. So firstly, prayer is for us. But secondly, prayer changes things. Prayer does change things. I remember a famous quote, say, prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes people and people change things. That's not right. Prayer changes things. Why does prayer change things? Well, prayer changes things because God has chosen in His sovereignty to work through His children praying. He doesn't have to have us pray to do things. But He has chosen to invite us into what He's doing so that when we pray, He responds to our prayers and works. So in summary, Jesus teaches us not to pray to impress others and not to pray to impress God. We are to simply go to our Heavenly Father in secret, like a child, talking to their Father, and ask Him what we need. Now, before I talk about application, I want to just stop for a second and say this. You might be tempted to think, I don't need to keep going to God and ask Him for things because that's selfish. You know, it's not right for me to just always be like going to God to be asking, God, I'm asking for this and I'm asking for this and I'm asking for that. He tells us to ask. God is not like me. If my children come to me every day and they only keep saying, hey, Dad, give me this. Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? I won't appreciate that. But I'm not God. God tells us to come to Him and ask. Do you remember Luke 18? Parable of the persistent widow? The teaching on how we are to pray and to not lose heart? The whole teaching on prayer in Luke 18 is that don't give up. Keep coming and asking. So don't give in to that mentality that says you don't need to ask God because you're being selfish, because He commands us to ask. Well, some application for this passage today. Like I said, we'll look at the Lord's Prayer in detail next week. What can we take away from this passage? Well, we saw last week, He said, when you give to the needy, when you give to the needy, two times. When we look at fasting, He says, when you fast, two times. And when we look at prayer, three times, He says, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. Verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, when you pray. So, a simple application for us is, how are you doing in your prayer life? How are you doing in your private prayer life? Do you have time where you spend time with your Heavenly Father praying, meeting with Him? Some of you may struggle. You may ask yourself, why I struggle with prayer. It's good. It's good to ask yourself, why I don't pray very much and why don't I? I think for some of us, we may struggle with the whole idea of going to our Heavenly Father and asking Him for what we need because our earthly fathers were not very open or caring, or kind, or they were distant. And so our whole concept that He's trying to get across here of Father is ruined in our minds in many ways. So maybe we don't pray because our earthly Father was not very approachable. But we need to just understand that God the Father is not like our Heavenly Father's. He's different. We can go to Him. The Scripture is true. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We can go to Him, and He is always listening. He is always there, and He already knows what we need before we ask. Maybe that's some of what some of us need to wrestle with. Do you pray? Secondly, when you pray, do you have any ways that the Lord needs to work on your heart? Maybe you are like the hypocrite trying to impress other people, or maybe you try to impress God with your prayers. But remember, private prayer is simply a child talking to their father about what they need. Now, if you're anything like me, as I studied this the whole week, I realized how foolish I am. Just foolish. How often I try to carry things on my own, or I try to worry myself through things, think through things, talk to friends about things, and neglect prayer. Silly. Are there any ways that you need to learn to pray more like Jesus tells us to pray? To ask the Lord and ask Him to show you where your heart is in the matter of prayer. Lastly, as I mentioned last week and mentioned in this sermon already, the privilege of calling God your Father. The privilege of calling God your Father. It's only available to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Now, every person who's ever been made is a child of God in some sense. They're made in the image of God. They're creatures made by God. But they're not children of God. When the Bible talks about children of God, it means those who belong to God, who have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Think of it. No one in the world gets to call God their Father but believers in Jesus. That's a different way to live. You may be in here today and you may not be a Christian. You may not be able to call God your Father yet. But that invitation is open to you. My father died when I was 14 years old. He got cancer when I was 10. I barely knew him. He died when I was 14. And that's part of the gospel of how God saved me. I picked up my dad's Bible, and I read in the Bible where it said, He will be a father to the fatherless. God is a father to the fatherless. And He's a father to those who have earthly fathers as well, if we trust in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. God so loved the world. God the Father loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and rose from the dead so that you could call God the Father your Heavenly Father. He made that possible for us. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Listen what John chapter 1 says, and I'll close. To all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. He's our Father if we trust in Jesus Christ. May God give us the grace to understand the basics of our faith, that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who desires. He doesn't need, but he desires that we come to him regularly in prayer and ask for what we need. May God give us the grace not to try to, even though we've been saved by faith, saved by his grace, try to live life apart from God as Christians. God forbid that we should do that, but that we should pray. Well, let's pray. Father, you have held up your word. You have been a father to the fatherless. You said, when your mother and father forsake you, the Lord will bring you up. You have been faithful to that. The truth is, God, you have never failed us a single time. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. We pray that you would help us in our hearts, in our minds, to see the truth of who you are, and it might lead us to private prayer. Lord, I pray for all of us in this room that you will change us in this area. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this as the musicians come up and we get ready to sing a song. Let me say this. There's probably something in your heart right now that you may be thinking of and thinking, I pray about this all the time. Maybe I should stop praying. I've prayed enough about this. You've not prayed enough. You can never pray enough. Keep praying. Keep going to God. Keep trusting in Him. He will never fail you. Let's stand together and sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.